Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one pooled plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 119, October 16th, 2013. We talk about proper microphone technique. Hello, everybody. This is K9EID from the Ozarks, and we're here tonight for Ham Nation. And we got some really fun things tonight. Unfortunately, Gordo is not here. He's down into San Diego out teaching a bunch of guys how to operate Marine single sideband. And I know that they'll be well schooled. And so we're going to miss him tonight, but he does have a session. He left us a really nice video. And so we'll get to see what happened at Pacificon with he and Don. So we'll get that in a little bit. But in the meantime, we have all the rest of our crew here. Cheryl is standing by. All you guys and gals in the chat room, get some questions ready for her. She's watching the chat room, and she'll be on at the end of the show to find out what everybody needs to know, and we'll go from there. We'll go down to Mississippi, and it's George, the smoking solder man. How you doing, George?
Oh, doing fine, Bob. Looking forward to another great show, and looking forward to hearing Gordo's report, see what he's been up to there.
Yeah, up to is that's right. What he's been up to. Oh golly, we're really looking forward to you guys being here for the Lebanon Ham. We're going to start talking about this Lebanon Ham Fest. You guys, everybody listening to me, if you're anywhere within driving, and I don't care if it takes you a day to get here, November 8th and 9th, it's going to be the Midwest ARRL, but it's going to be massive. That's great. All the major players are here. But what's cool about it, we're going to do the first live audience Ham Nation. We'll have more words about that. You might want to come to Lebanon, Missouri, not far from Pleasant Hope, and join us. We'll keep you posted on that. But we also want to go down to, let's go down and see what Don's doing in the lower part of Mississippi. Don, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I missed you guys last week. I was off playing with classic cars down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and I missed you guys last week.
Yeah, I saw some of those cars. It's like, whoa, you got some pictures of that?
We got some, yeah, there's mine, my 78 Trans Am. We got some show and tell from cruising the coast. There were 7,042 cars. Just go ahead and roll through these, Brian, and I'll kind of tell you what they are if I can remember exactly. I don't know what that was, but it was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Somebody put a lot of money into that. And a map of the United States made with the various license plates I thought was awfully cool. Wanted to take a shot of that. And that was, the paint on that looked like you could just dive into it. Just absolutely gorgeous. Rat rods. I think that if I build another car, it's going to be a rat rod. The cool thing about rat rods is there's no wrong way to do it. The most outrageous, the better. So that was one of the nicer ones that I saw. And look at this Packard. Oh, my God. Look at this thing. There are two or three shots of this. The Packard Super 8. And, of course, that the flying lady on the hood. Just absolutely gorgeous. Let's see the flying lady. There she is. Wow. Just an awesome car. And I think there's one more in here. I think another. Yeah, look at this thing. About done up like a P-40 fighter plane. Just coolest little Studebaker you ever saw. There were 7,042 cars and a rolling car show. You can experience them with. And that's my brother-in-law's car, the blue one there and right behind mine. So that's kind of cool. It's the 17th year, and I've been to every one and love it. So that's what I was doing last week. And in fact, I understand, Bob, that there's reason to celebrate because somebody's celebrating 8 years of doing something. Am I right?
That is right. Eight. And it's George. This is the eighth year for your amateur logic. You and Tommy have been doing this for 8 years. Congratulations, my friend. That's really cool.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yeah, we've been having a great time and continue on with it. You know, Peter, our buddy from down under, has been with us 5 years now, and he had a, well, he declared war on internet geo-blocking this time around, and Tommy played with his ID51, and I showed everybody what a Megger is. You know, I've talked about those before, and they're really handy devices to have, and boy, we also had a bunch of friends on there. We had Dan Van Evenhoeven in 9LVS, who does the wiki for Ham Nation. He also does it for Amateur Logic. And we had Mike Morneau from Canada join us. And we also had Carl from Gigaparts over there. And we just had a little Google Hangout. A lot of fun with that, too. But it's been a great 8 years, and we're looking forward to the next on that.
Oh, that's
congratulations.
Great. That's great. We'll have to go check it out. That's really cool. And if we didn't know you were doing all that, Don and I would have come down and we'd have, you know, kind of barged in and had fun.
Yeah.
Well, you should have. You should have.
Yeah, we should have. We should have. Yep. By the way, Don, I have my favorite drink tonight, chocolate milk, just so you know, okay?
Oh, there you go.
I had my tea here, but it's in an exciting cup, but it's not as exciting to drink as chocolate milk. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I know you're.
Of course not.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta represent my home state here, so I'm
there. You go.
OU koozie tonight.
There you go. Well, we got to move on to Wichita. Dale, how are you doing? We're having too much crazy fun here. How you doing, Dale? Dale is running all of the videos up tonight, and you look good. How you? Everything okay?
Oh yeah, we're doing pretty good. Tell Don there that. I see his cup, and I'm glad I'm going to be on the QCAA cruise because I know his Sooners are going to be going to town against the Jayhawks this weekend up in Lawrence. So we'll be watching for the score, though. Who knows?
Yeah, brace yourself, Birdman. Brace yourself, Birdman.
I've got four great videos for everybody tonight, and we'll name the winner of this BRG self-setting ham shack clock for the Ham's Choice Award for September tonight, Bob. Go ahead.
Okay, super. Well, let's get started in some of the serious part of the show. We're goofing around here a little bit. We always had fun. It's ham radio, and you know what that means. So we're going to go down and get it happening with smoke and solder. George, it's all yours, man. Let's make her fly.
Okay. Before we pull out the soldering iron, I wanted to mention a couple of things here real quick, Bob. I got an email from Ray this afternoon. Says he won't be in the chat room this evening. He's got a good excuse. He's in Mozambique with a D expedition over there of amateurs from the U.S., Canada, and Japan. And They're doing a de-exposition from Mozambique, and he wants everyone to join in and try to contact him. If you'd like to learn a little more about it, it's at c82dx.com. And I told him I'm going to try to check in, and he said he'll be back next week. And he's doing a little recording over there of just what it sounds like on the other side of a 20-meter phone pileup. So he's excited. Said it's an incredible experience. And one other thing I wanted to mention is next week, October 23rd, we're going to have a live segment in here from DX Engineering with their new store. And I think it's Tallamudge, Ohio. I believe that's how you pronounce that. Could be wrong. So looking forward to seeing Tim and everyone next week at DX Engineering. And tonight, we're going to finish building that FM radio kit. So without any further ado, for the last couple of weeks, we've been building an FM radio kit on smoke and solder. Last week, we built the two IF amplifier stages. This week, we're going to build the RF amplifier, the local oscillator, the mixer, and the AFC circuit. Let's take a look at a simple block diagram explanation of how an FM receiver works. The first stage, the FMRF amplifier, receives a radio signal on the frequency it's being broadcast on. The FM oscillator produces a radio signal at the received frequency plus 10.7 megahertz. The FM mixer mixes the original radio signal and the oscillator signal to produce a new signal at 10.7 megahertz. The first and second IF amplifiers amplify this 10.7 megahertz IF signal. The FM detector detects changes in IF frequency. These changes are audio. It also sends back a DC correction voltage to the AFC circuit to automatically control the frequency of the FM oscillator. The FM detector also sends an audio signal to the audio amplifier, which sends it to the speaker, which disturbs the air, which disturbs the eardrum, and causes the sound that we hear. Let's get started building. We'll build the mixer stage first. Test here, but they're essentially the same as the ones we've done before, so I'll do those off camera. Now let's build the local oscillator. Next we'll build the AFC. And finally the RF amplifier. Now let's take a moment to talk about what we just built. In a super heterodyne receiver, radio waves are received and then mixed with a local oscillator to produce an intermediate frequency, or IF. The first stage is the RF amplifier, which selects a radio station and amplifies it. The second stage is a local oscillator, which oscillates at a frequency of 10.7 MHz above the desired radio frequency. The third stage is a mixer stage, where the amplified radio signal is heterodyned with the local oscillator. During the mixing process, a difference frequency of 10.7 megahertz is produced. This difference signal is used as the IF in FM radios. The collector of transistor Q3 contains an IF transformer which is tuned only to the difference frequency. This transformer rejects all frequencies except those near 10.7 megahertz. The transformer also couples the 10.7 megahertz signal to the first FM IF amplifier. The RF amplifier and the oscillator are the only two resonant circuits that change frequency as the radio is tuned to different stations. When a radio is tuned to a station, it would be nice if the radio would lock onto the station. Changes in temperature, voltage, etc. affect the local oscillator and may change its frequency of oscillation. If this happens, a center frequency of 10.7 MHz will shift too. Automatic frequency control, or AFC, is used to maintain the 10.7 MHz center frequency. When the local oscillator drifts, the ratio detector produces a DC correction voltage. The audio signal rides on this DC correction voltage as well, and it's fed through a filter network which removes the audio so that a pure DC voltage is produced. This voltage is fed to a special varactor diode. The varactor will change its internal capacitance when a voltage is applied. The ratio detector diodes are positioned in such a way that when the 10.7 MHz center frequency increases, the DC correction voltage will decrease. And conversely, when the 10.7 MHz center frequency decreases, the DC correction voltage will increase. This voltage change causes the capacitance of the varactor diode to change. The varactor is connected at the emitter of transistor Q2, the local oscillator. So any capacitance change in the varactor is seen at the emitter of the oscillator. And a change in capacitance at the emitter of this transistor will cause the frequency of oscillation of the local oscillator to change. Now there's only one part left to install. Can you guess what it is? That's right, it's the antenna. So will this radio actually work? It appears that it will. Now, it's a little less than perfect, and my tuning procedures weren't exactly correct since I did not have the test equipment to really do this right. So next week, we may take a look at how you would tune this radio without test equipment. Well, there you go. It actually worked. And as I mentioned, I didn't have the really correct test equipment to do that, but it still worked. And you can do that without any test equipment. And we may take a look at that next week. That could be fun to see just how you would do that the hard way. But let's get into our contest right now. You know, last week I asked a question, who is credited with inventing FM radio? And I got an answer from Dennis Cornell. I didn't get his call letters, but he said Edward Howard Armstrong is credited with developing FM radio. Congratulations, Dennis. You're going to win this telescoping antenna with a BNC connector on the bottom from MFJ Enterprises. And for next week, we've got a great prize here, Bob. These might look familiar. This is the new Howell ProSet 3, a great pair of stereo headphones that's being donated courtesy of cheapham.com, Frank and all the guys there. And if you'd like to win those, and who wouldn't, answer this. What is the main characteristic of a varactor diode? And if you think you know the answer, email it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. Right now, let's take a message from ICOM.
Just got your technician license and want to get on 10 meters? Have you upgraded to general and want to expand your band experiences? Maybe you're just on a budget and want an HF radio. ICOM has the rig for you. Check out ICOM's IC718, a great utility radio. It's a practical option for casual HF operating. It's sturdy and compact with comfortable knobs and buttons, a great layout and easy to follow menus. It's perfect for the newly licensed ham. It's got superior basic performance and DSP is included. Want big rig features in a small package? Try the IC7200. It's a small footprint and rugged. It even has a weather-resistant front panel. It features ICOM's signature IF DSP technology, selectable filter width and shape, excellent receiver performance, and it's ideal for portable or emergency situations. Look to the celebrated IC7000 for the ultimate multiband mobile, portable, or base station rig. It's a multi-mode HF, VHF, UHF transceiver. It's compact with a colorful, crisp display and feature-rich interface. No need to buy add-on filters. Filtering is built in using DSP technology. It's compatible with many optional ICOM accessories for just about any installation. And it's got incredible third-party product support. For the latest multiband mobile, check out the IC7100 and take your hobby with you. Smart design with an easy-to-read touchscreen, a slanted control head with a built-in speaker. It's got 32-bit IF DSP controlled digital features. ICOM Smart Menu System gives you context and mode menu items, and it's D-Star ready with a great near-repeater function. It's got a built-in SD card slot for voice and log storage. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's entry-level HF radios.
There were some great radios in that ad right there. And as a matter of fact, ICOM is going to be giving away a couple of them. In the Ham Nation contest for this month, you know, you can enter the contest every week after the show. You just go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation, and you can register to win the weekly swag prize and win some great items there. But once a month, ICOM gives away a radio, and you're automatically entered for that when you register. This month, it's going to be the simple and tough IC7200 with IF DSP. And ICOM has also given away that all-mode IC7100 with touchscreen and D-Star. If you're interested in that one, then check out amateurlogic.tv/contest. That one's going to be given away next month. Bob, you know, I'm using a PR30 here, and it's a great microphone. I do use it for a lot of different things, but there must be a reason to have different microphones for different purposes, or else you'd only make one. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, you know, we have so many different transmitters, They each have different front ends. They have, some of them have equalization, some don't. Most all the new ones have equalization, thank goodness. But of all the microphones, once you get one that's going to meet your needs, right, impedance and all of that, there's a way to use the microphone. And not a whole lot of attention is paid to that. And it's really disturbing when I hear guys on the air and they, their signal could be so much better because they haven't used the microphone properly. One of the things that really, really is needs to be said and proven to you is desk stands. We make a desk stand. I love desk stands from the looks of them, but they are a real drug to a lot of people. Why? Because it allows you to get away from the microphone. And when you do that, listen to what happens. And this is science that dictates this. When you double the distance of the of your mouth from the microphone, you'll lose 6 decibel every time you double the distance. And, okay, so you start backing up from the microphone. That's these guys, it's they got their push-to-talk up here, and they're pushing the button and talking way back here. Well, look what happened. Well, I say, oh, be quiet. Hi, we'll just turn the gain up. Okay. They crank the gain up, and now look what happens. It gets real hollow sounding, and the room is louder than you are. And so what you've lost your dynamic range. You've lost a lot of the quality and definitely lost your transient response. And you then, of course, have lost a tremendous amount of the audio that the microphone is capable of, but you backed away from it. You got out of the pattern, and that's really a toughie. And notice when we get back on it, what happens to the sound of the audio? It's much better. I can get the gain back where it is. How do you adjust the gain? You adjust the gain with ALC. Watch the ALC. You never want to see that doing this up at the red mark. And there's a lot of guys that do that, that ALC is just up at the top all the time. Uh-uh. If you say 10 words, maybe one or two, it'll flash, and that's about it. Only on the peaks. That is stands for automatic limiter control. Think about that. Automatic limiting control. So when you hit a big signal and big peak with your voice, it shuts it down. And that's when you're going to see your ALC meter move. And in fact, the 9000 Yaesu was interesting. We worked with Dr. Hasegawa in doing that, with getting the parametric EQ and all that together for him. But I also suggested two things, and he did it. Finally, I got to see a ham radio transmitter with an XLR in the front of it. Balance line, XLR, commercial plug. How great. All transmitters should have that plug on them. And I know George will agree because he was in the broadcast industry. And that's all we see in the pro industry. Why do we have to do it? Is it because they call it ham radio, amateur radio? I don't know. But it really bugs me because you can really improve your RFI problems, your audio quality, just by using the balanced inputs. Well, the 9000 has an XLR in the front of it. It also has no ALC meter. It says mic gain. I love it because that's what it is. That's how you set your mic gain. I don't know how many emails. I don't keep track. I can't. I answer them all, but I get a ton of emails about how do I set my gain? How do I set my EQ? Of course, your gain is set with watching the ALC meter. Stay on the microphone. Do not back off more than 2 inches. That's it. That's it. And you then adjust the gain on your microphone gain for that. And if it's got equalization in it, adjust it. How do you do that? Don't call your buddy on, for crying out loud, don't call, have him call you on the phone. Or don't let him tape record you and play it back. No. You listen to yourself real time in a second receiver through a pair of headphones. You're not going to blow it up. I keep that 870 on all the time, And anytime I'm transmitting, I listen to myself in that 870. That's my monitor receiver. It's got the flattest audio response of anything in this station lab. It's beautiful. And I use that to judge the quality of my transmitted audio. I don't have any antenna on it. I got a little piece of wire hanging out the back. It's about 2 feet long. That's it. And it works terrific. But those are some of the things about the microphone that you need to know. The other thing is use a quality windscreen. There's a lot of windscreens out there. They're not very good. And this, the ones that we use and provide and design are microphone windscreens that are acoustically transparent. They do not. I hear guys, oh, I'm going to put that foam thing on there. It'll change my, No, it doesn't. It better not. If they're absolutely acoustically transparent, they're not going to cause your signal to change. Here, I'll show you. If I take it off, it's the same. And what it does, it controls the breath blasts. Some humans, when they speak, exhibit a lot of air with each word. Well, that air gets under that diaphragm and causes weird things. It's causing the diaphragm to go nuts with the air that you blow when you speak. So you put that on and away you go. And it also is kind of nice to let you judge that you should be on that microphone. Like George, he's got a regular windscreen with the hoops on it. And BSW has those. They're really good. It's a proprietary product for BSW that fit the PR30 and the 40s and stuff like that. All of the Leo Laporte's hosts use them. You see them on Twitter a lot, and they work great. And BSW has those. But those are just some little tips for you. Play around with it. You'll see what I mean. Please, if I hear you on the air and you sound like this, I'm coming after you. And I do. Nicely. But I ask you, how far are you from your microphone? Well, I'm about 2 feet from my microphone. How does it sound? Well, it sounds pretty bad. And then you slowly have them come up on their microphone and look what happened to my audio. Have fun. Listen to yourself. And you'll see how things go. And there you'll see that wonderful shock mount and all of this stuff that's available from BSW. And they've got it on our Boom, the HH1 Beam 2. Well, there you go, everybody. And I hope that helps you a little bit. We'll continue to bring things to you that'll help.
Hey, Bob,
we're going to go
about,
find out where.
Can I add something about mic tech? Can I add something about mic technique real quick? I've been in broadcasting for 35 years. Run your mic at a 45 degree angle. If you run it, like you said, without the pop filter, if you run it straight into you, you're going to have the pop, 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 the pee pops and everything. And what I do when I make commercials is I got this pop filter and I almost touch, I can kind of feel my beard just barely touching that thing. And that is how I read my copy. And so for you never want to get, like Bob said, any more than a couple of inches. A fist away is about as much as you ever want to get. So that's how you run proper mic technique. And I'm so glad you brought this up because it's a huge pet peeve of mine. Bob, back to you. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, let's go over to George. Look at George. He's off. And there's one thing about the Heil PR30s and 40s, almost all of our microphones, we have a very unique pattern. People will say, they'll ask me, oh, what's the pattern? Is it Omni? No. Is it cardioid? No. I hate those patterns. We have a Heil pattern, and people laugh at me until I explain it to them. We actually do. It's almost Omni on the front, but then it's 40 dB on the rear. No other microphone does that, and it was Joe Walsh and I that figured it out. Two crazy hams. But, Georgia, I notice you're 90 degrees off, and it's great, isn't it?
Somewhere between 45 and 90. It's at a slight angle here. And I'm not talking directly into it, but I cannot fit a fist between the end of the mic and my mouth here. Uh-huh. And that's the way I normally run it. I have run it 90 degrees, but it gets a little bassy like that. So I can get right in front of it, and it really does pick up good. And this room is noisy. There's two computers sitting right here beside me running. There's an air conditioner over there, and there's a ceiling fan up here. and you probably don't hear any of that stuff. To me, it's loud in here, but, you know, with the pattern of this mic and working it, you know, fairly close here, you know, I can eliminate all of that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, we're very happy that we can help everybody. And there again, you just have to keep listening and mentally dissect what you hear. It's very important. Well, let's go see where Gordo is and was. I guess it is. He was at the wonderful Ham Fest up in Northern California. It's Pacificon is a great Ham Fest. So let's get the report from Gordo. Take her away, guys.
Pacificon 2013. Let's go for a road trip on our rent-a-car.
Road trip, road trip. And we used APRS. A lot of people were tracking us to see our progress.
And our radio was a Kenwood D710. And the AV map, Donnie's got the big one. I've got the smaller one over on the right-hand passenger.
G6 is on the left. G4 is on the right.
And they work great. And Donnie, tell them all about where we got snow.
Well, we went through Montgomery Pass, Nevada, and as soon as it turned 36 degrees, the snow came down.
And there you can see the rent-a-car with the Outbacker antenna temporarily installed, along with the APRS mag mount and a comm antenna on the left rear. And inside the vehicle, we had the battery saver, 12-amp-hour battery, buffering the 12-volt from the car. And we ran all day and all evening, and then we pulled up, and we snuck a little bit of Wi-Fi, didn't we?
We did. And so we, right during Ham Nation, we had a contest on what we were doing and where we were doing, and well, there was a winner. And not only did he tell us what we were doing, he told us more. So congratulations to Andy Meyer, November 2, Fox Yankee Echo.
Right.
And along with there at Starbucks, I was able to go to the ISSFanClub.com website, and I was able to look at the ISS flying over Reno.
And we could actually hear the ISS, not real strong where we were parked, but nonetheless, what a great way to play ham radio on the road. Then the next day, we got up bright and early, and we went down to K6TAZ, Steve's place. He said he had this small tower. Holy smoly, look at that tower. And he said he had some friends that we wanted to meet. And sure enough, he's got a goat and horses and just about everything else. This is a fun part of ham radio, and that is meeting up with fellow hams that we meet right on the air on our way down from Reno to Pacificon, and great meetings with each of these groups. And then we met a ham at Beale Air Force Base saying, "Hey, want to go for a ride?" Well, we couldn't go for a ride, but Donnie, tell them about this aircraft.
This is a T-38, and the U-2 pilots use this for training, and also astronauts use it for training. It's a training craft. A lot of the pilots will know what we're talking about, and we were able to get we were in the unrestricted area, so no problems taking a photo here.
And thanks for our Guide 6 TED, Ted, who gave us a good look both outside as well as inside. Couldn't get inside, but nonetheless, you never know who you're going to meet on ham radio on 146.52 that says, "Hey, come on over. I got something to show you."
Yeah, don't pull that red cord right there. You'll be going out like 250 miles an hour.
Now, going at the speed of light was Pave Paws. And you know that Pave Paws has pretty well dominated the 70-centimeter band in the Bay Area. Let's take a listen and see what Pave Paws sounds like. After we left Beale, we came down into the area, and there is Kenwood's Phil Parton, along with Don and Old Gordo, and Ms. Carol Perry came all the way out from Staten Island, New York, to address the Radio Club of America, many members out here, as well as the Youth Forum.
And you know, Gordon, that was great to meet Carol just in a non-formal setting right there at lunch.
Yeah, at a double burger lunch. There you go. And bright and early Saturday morning, Pacificon crew, and what a great crew that they had. Jim did a fabulous job of organizing all of the events, including a nice flea market and some really good deals. You want a little over a KW for a little under a KW, you've got it here with a Kenwood 922A. And this is during Don's era. Tell them all about this, Don.
Way before my time, but I know Gordon has his fascination with meters, so I always like to take pictures of meters for Gordo.
Yeah, and that was a great set. And, of course, we had the Hex Beam as one of the main event communication stations at Pacificon. They were radioactive. Now, look at this. The American Radio Relay League brought in about 50, and they donated them soldering irons, and look at the kits that these kids are putting together. That's Pat, who has a vehicle with more antennas than you've ever seen. There's a successful kit. Notice they got protective eyewear, and they had an ARRL rep there just to make sure the kids knew all the proper ways of soldering, following instructions. There's a scout leader to make sure that all the kids are doing their thing. So what do we got now, Donnie?
That's ICOM America was there, and they were showing off their stuff. There's my buddy Jerry from Yaesu, and, of course, you met Phil at the lunch table. And then there's Ham Radio Outlet, taking on, had some pretty good deals going on there.
And that's our good friend Luke, who runs the Ham Radio Outlet main buying operation throughout all of the stores. Luke was having a great time meeting fellow hams and a lot of friends.
That guy can talk. That guy, it's like the fastest talker I've ever seen.
And there's CQ Magazine and just a whole bunch of everyone. Miss Barry again, ready to lead her classroom of students.
Wow. That's for you there. We took that picture for you, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Heil's going to love this. A lot of Collins equipment owners there and a lot of live demos. Pacificon did a fabulous job of having everybody there with live demos. And this is Don's favorite, jumping out of a perfectly good aircraft.
No, not me. I leave that to trained professionals.
And they did ATV while going down at 64 feet per second or however fast,
it is. This little kid said, hey, watch this. What's this? And I told him it's a ham radio and a GPS. And he was a pretty enthusiastic-looking kid. He doesn't show it. But anyway, he's a future ham operator.
And the hams at Pacificon that brought kids, they had their own youth lounge, and this was great to get more kids excited. And we had an instructors get together, and our instructor training brought out a lot of hams that were very happy that they passed. In fact, look at that, Donnie.
This is like an engineering group. What was the name of the school? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but they were great. All got 100%, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to tangle with them in math.
There you go. And there's the instructor off to the right-hand side with thumbs up, and he had to be proud. Part of our instructor course where we told our secrets, and we learned some secrets there as well at Pacificon, and the kids were constantly coming up who took the exam. And these were what, three?
Three brothers, and all passed, and the one in the middle, he's the youngest. He's age 9, and he passed his license.
Wow. And, you know, the exam teams, after the kids would pass, would give everybody a little pass ribbon, and then they'd come over to our booth at the HRO booth and go ahead and get their signed certificate. Well, it was a long 3 days, and I think we'll probably have to have Brian censor this one.
No, Brian. That snuck that one while he was asleep.
So Gordo, WB6NOA.
And Don, W6GPS.
Almost live and direct, saying, Pacificon 2014, you did a fabulous job.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's 2013.
Well, I'm a year ahead of myself because I want to go back now.
That's it. Back to you guys.
Oh, these guys are having way too much fun. And anybody that gets anywhere close to a ham fest where Gordo is doing any of his teaching or his workshops, you have to do that because you will learn a lot and have a lot of fun doing it. That's the main thing. Well, we're going to go back to Don. Don, have you been experimenting with Ting? What a great thing that is. It's, I think, really opened up a whole new thing. I love new technology, obviously, from all the things we're doing. It's new technology. And boy, they're really cranking it up at Ting. What do you think?
Ting is what's called a no BS mobile service. There's no, and that's exactly what you think it is. There's no BS with Ting. Like I said, they're a reseller of the nationwide Sprint network, and they're different. For instance, there are no early termination fees. Truly and completely contract-free. Contract-free. No early termination fees. None of that other stuff. If you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting, then they've got your back. Ting will give you a credit for 25% of your early termination fee, up to $75 per device. Just purchase your device through Ting. You port your number. Then you submit your final bill with your ETF detailed from your previous carrier. Ting.com/ETF will give you all that information. There's no bundling or ride-along. You choose whatever size you want, XL through double or XS, the extra small through triple extra huge service levels for voice minutes, text minutes, megabytes of data. It's all billed separately. There's no coverage charges, no penalties. If you use a little more than you thought you would, well, you just pay for the extra. There's no add-on charges either. Voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way, call forwarding, other features. It's all part of the service. No add-on charges and no weird line items on your bill that you have no idea what they are. Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes that they legally have to collect. There's no hidden charges, no recovery fees, no BS. And unlimited devices on one plan. If you want 735 phones, then you can have 735 phones. Many as you want on one plan. You share the pooled minutes, the messages, and the megabytes. Each device on a plan costs a flat $6 per month. And the online account control panel is second to none. You take total control of your account, your usage, and your bills. It's a powerful online control panel. Here's the cool thing. No on-hold customer support. When you call Ting at 855-TING-FTW anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern time, you get a real, live, actual human being on the phone. And the online support is amazing. Help.ting.com. Active customer support forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system. Video tutorials, video startup guides, a whole lot more. Here's how it works. You purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. You activate your device with Ting. You'll have the option to select a new phone number or port your existing one. Then Ting will break out your rates by minutes, text messages, and megabytes and bill you at the end of the month for exactly what you've used. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to visit Ting today. Hamnation.ting.com. I'll give you that again. Hamnation.ting.com. You'll save money. You'll better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. You'll check out the savings calculator, see how much you or your company can save. That's right. Your company can have a Ting account. And Ham Nation viewers also save $25 off the first Ting device when you sign up. Here it is again. Hamnation.ting.com. Start saving today and be happy. And Ting, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, it's a whole new way. As I said, that's the cool part is that they've got a new way to do things. And I love new technology, new ways of doing things better. Well, Don, you have a report from us for the rest of the amateur radio world at Newsline. What's happening in our wonderful world?
Let's do that. Let's roll that. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1887, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA as it's known by those who participate, is the largest scouting event in the world. Jim Wilson, K5ND, is the National Boy Scouts of America coordinator for JOTA in the United States.
Typically, about 700,000 scouts get on the air from 6,000 stations and roughly 14,000-15,000 radio amateurs making things happen around the event. It's a huge deal worldwide, and that's part of its excitement. It's not just, gee, let's check out the fun technology and the magic of amateur radio, but let's get on and talk to other scouts. Might be in another state, might be across the country, or they could be around the world. And a lot of fun interaction happens, reaching out to scouts who are from a completely different culture, but still enjoying scouting and being introduced to amateur radio.
Jamboree on the Air is coordinated by the World Organization of the Scout Movement out of the World Scout Bureau in Geneva, Switzerland. The activity is in its 56th year. Wilson says JOTA operations in the U.S. range from home stations where, say, a den of Cub Scouts or a patrol of Boy Scouts might be introduced to the event by an operator to setups on an outdoor or larger scale. This year marks the end of an era for one well-known station, HB9S, the station based at the World Scout Bureau.
This year will be its last year because the World Bureau is relocating its office. It's moving out of Geneva. Pretty much sure it's moving out of Europe. They don't know exactly where, but they do know it will be taking place in 2014. And so this will likely be the last time that HB9S is on the air from Switzerland.
If you're looking for more information about JOTA and want to participate, the best place to look, Wilson says, is www.scouting.org/JOTA.
It gives a list of frequencies, which includes Echolink and D-Star and those nodes as well. So it really provides a great deal of information about Jamboree on the Air. That also, that same site, scouting.org/JOTA, has a link to register your station.
Station registration is still underway, and Wilson says it's not too late to get involved. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V in Philadelphia.
Again, the dates for JOTA are October 19th and 20th. According to news reports, the partial U.S. federal shutdown is preventing a group of radio amateurs visiting Wake Island to commemorate a World War II massacre.
A dozen operators using the special call K9W were supposed to be on Wake Island as this newscast goes to air. They were working to assemble their gear in Hawaii for transport to Hickam Air Force Base and then on to Wake Island. Instead, after months of preparation, the trip is on indefinite hold because of a paperwork delay the group attributes to the partial federal shutdown. It still hopes to make the trip once the government funding crisis is solved.
Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW reporting. Please keep an eye on wake2013.org for the latest details. And finally this week, the Dayton Hamvention has announced that it is soliciting nominations for its 2014 awards. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, has the rundown.
The Amateur of the Year award goes to the individual who's made a long-term outstanding commitment to the advancement of amateur radio. The Special Achievement Award honors someone who has made an outstanding contribution to the advancement of amateur radio. The Technical Excellence Award is for the person who has made an outstanding technical advancement in the field of amateur radio. The Club of the Year award goes to an organization which has made a significant contribution to the advancement of amateur radio. The winners will be recognized at the 2014 Hamvention, which runs May 16th to the 18th. Nominations must be received by January 17th, 2014.
Additional details and a nomination form are available on the Dayton Hamvention website. You'll find that at www.hamvention.org. Click the awards button on the right. Of course, Amateur Radio Newsline will be roaming the halls of Hera Arena, and Ham Nation will be camped out at our usual spot in Audio Alley. We hope to see you there. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Ah, yes, Audio Alley, where you can get the best microphones in the world from Mr. Bob Heil to outfit your shack. And speaking of shacks, let's head up to Kansas and check out Dale and show me your shack. Dale, how you doing tonight?
Okay, Don, and right back at you.
There you go.
That's for the game tomorrow night. So, Don and everyone out there, welcome to the video segment. To kick things off, we've got a great opportunity for the hams out there. How would you like to hear your call sign on ABC's Last Man Standing in a QSO with Tim Allen, who stars as Mike Baxter, KA0XTT? Okay, here's your chance. John Amadeo, NN6JA, needs a few five-second voiceovers from hams to use on the Thanksgiving episode of Last Man Standing. You see the ham shack in the basement of Mike's house now. That episode will be shot next Monday and Tuesday. That's the 21st and 2nd. He's looking for something like... This is NN6JA, and yes, I'd love to get these people out of here so I can get back to the football game. So you can be creative. You add your own color. Give it your best shot. Send them in. John will then pick the voiceovers for broadcast. Just record straight audio. John's team will make it sound like single sideband. Make sure you include your radio voiceover, your name and address, and your telephone number. And if John does select your voiceover, you'll need to sign a release. Good luck to you, and we'll be listening for you at Thanksgiving. Our first video tonight is from Kevin Young, KC7FPF. Last week, he covered the Melbourne, Florida 2013 Hamfest for Ham Nation.
On Saturday, October 12th, several members of the Sun Country Amateur Radio Society from Ocala, Florida, traveled to Melbourne, Florida to attend the 48th Annual Melbourne Hamfest and State ARRL Convention. Members included Joe, KA4WJB, Robert, KB4FUZ, Dave, KJ4MDM, Mario, N4TSV, and Kevin, KC7FPF. Mother Nature did provide us with a great day for this event. Once we arrived, it was like kids in a candy store. There were vendors big and small to display their products and services. Once we were done inside, it was time to head to the tailgate area. There was lots of stuff to see. Although during this time of budget restraint, we still managed to have a great time. Looking forward to next year. But I'd also like to thank the Platinum Coast Amateur Radio Society for sponsoring this event. Until next time, this is Kevin, KC7FPF, 73s.
Well, thanks, Kevin, and we'll be speaking with you on the Ham Nation Post Show Net here in a few minutes, so we hope. Next up, we've got a live video from Jack McEwen, G8HIK. He covered the UK National Ham Fest, sponsored by the Lincoln Wireless Club. Let's watch together.
The UK National Ham Fest is a two-day event held each year in the George Stevenson Hall at the Newark Showground. It is hosted by the Lincoln Shortwave Club and sponsored by the Radio Society of Great Britain. The event is well attended and people travel from all over the country to be here. There were plenty of goodies to be had on the outdoor flea market. This is a rather impressive 60-foot pump-up mast attached to the mobile shack on wheels operated by the Cambridgeshire Repeater Group. The Sheffield Amateur Radio Club had brought their trailer and were demonstrating amateur television and streaming the video of the show via the internet to the rest of the world. There was plenty of room in the main hall to walk around and sample the goods on display by the major equipment manufacturers such as Kenwood. ICOM UK had a large stand filled with their latest kit. And Yaesu were showing their full range of equipment. The large retailers were doing good business with no shortage of nice kit to buy. Many smaller manufacturers and dealers were in attendance, along with numerous clubs and special interest groups. All in all, an enjoyable event on a lovely sunny day.
Okay, well, thanks, Jack, and we appreciate you taking the time to add the narration to your video for our Ham Nation audio podcast friends. We hope to see more from you soon, Jack. Our next video is a PSK 31 clip. Comes from Randy Hall, K7AGE. Do you realize that it takes longer to send uppercase characters than lowercase characters on PSK? Randy has the scoop, and he's letting us premiere the video here on Ham Nation.
I made this video as part of my Pacificon PSK forum, and I thought I would share this with my YouTube viewers. PSK uses Veracode coding for the letters and numbers that it transmits. The most used letters, lowercase, are sent using fewer bits than uppercase. This video shows DigiPen sending the same text in all lower and in all uppercase letters. The timer starts about 2 seconds before DigiPen starts to send the text. You can see the difference in the time it takes to send all of the text. The difference is about 4 seconds. Don't be confused by the difference in the width of the lower and uppercase letters. That's just a font thing. There's a link in the comments to a webpage about Veracode, so think about this if you're sending all your PSK31 texts with the caps lock key turned on. Thanks for watching. Randy, K7AGE.
Well, thanks, Randy, and we appreciate your great videos and your K7AGE YouTube channel. We look forward to more premier videos here in the future. Well, let's bring up our Ham Nation Club website of the week now. This week's featured website is the Green Valley, Arizona Amateur Radio Club. It's gvarc.us. It's the voice of the Santa Cruz River Valley. It was nominated by Jay Melnick, KE5NIZ. He said to be sure to check out the Titan Missile Site Discone antenna. Just click on the Explore Titan button on the left-hand column part of the screen. Well, thank you, Jay. And if you'd like to nominate your favorite Ham Club website, just send a note to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Please put Club Website of the Week in the subject line, if you will. Our final video for the night comes from Joseph Kosvoskik's KD8TGT. It features the Lake County Amateur Radio Association's participation in the Ohio State Parks on the air operation that was held late last month. Here's Joseph's report.
A beautiful Saturday in northern Ohio. Off to Headlands Beach, but not for swimming or sand. For this day is to participate in the statewide amateur radio event, Ohio State Parks on the Air. Arriving at Headland State Park, we find the Lake County Amateur Radio Association beginning their setup. This event, created by the Portage County Amateur Radio Service, has more than Lake County's participation. A majority of Ohio's 73 state parks are in the contest. And at Headlands, they use creative ways to get their antennas into the trees. Dipoles and inverted Vs are the standard of the day. Flown between trees and then connected to the rigs. And once their installations are complete, it's ready for the contest.
Good morning, Sean. Joe here in Metzer, Ohio.
What's that?
We're just set up here. We're having Ohio State Parks on the Air. So that starts at 12 noon local time. So just thought I would check into Midcars and say hello. I heard you on here. Back to you.
CQ Ohio State Parks, CQ Ohio State Parks. This is November 8th, Bravo Charlie. November 8th, Bravo Charlie, November 8th, Bravo Charlie. This is Ohio State Parks on the Air. W7 Foxtrot Delta. This is November 8th, Bravo Charlie, 5-9 in Ohio. Roger, Don, copy your 5-9. Our identifier is Hotel X-Ray Alpha. Hotel X-Ray Alpha, we're operating out of Headlands State Park. November 8th, Bravo Charlie. November 8th, Bravo Charlie. November 8th, Bravo Charlie. For the Ohio State Parks on the Air, this is November 8th, Bravo Charlie. For the Ohio State Parks on the Air, Ohio State Parks on the Air, calling CQ, November 8th, Bravo Charlie.
Well, it's time now to name the winner of the Ham's Choice Awards for September. We received a lot of votes at our website, hamnationvideos.info, but we did have a clear winner. Congratulations to Charles Locke, W4CLE, and his actors, Mike G, W9QO, and XYL Bobby G, who has the honorary call sign Q5QRM. That was the winning video. They captured first place with more than 38% of the votes, and we'll be sending this BRG self-setting clock for the Ham Shack to them very shortly. Chris Matthews, KF7WRS, captured second place with his Doug Tenna. Congratulations to both Chris and to Charles. Prizes for the Ham's Choice Award are donated by our good friend Mark Breckheisen. He's KF0MOF at the Ham Radio Center down in Derby, here near Wichita. The prize for the favorite video in October will be announced on the October 30th broadcast of Ham Nation. The November 30th, the ballot will be in place, and be ready to take your vote immediately after the October 30th episode. Well, that's it for the video segment. It's time now to check in with Cheryl K9BIK with tonight's chat room report. Cheryl, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Dale. Hi, everybody. Good evening, Ham Nationites, and this is a great evening, and I'm glad to be here with everyone. So I wanted to make a few announcements here, and we have KD2BWC. This is John that has been making some comments tonight in the chat room, and as you know what it's like to not pass the very first time you take your extra class, where he's just about ready to take his exam for the second try. And if you happen to be out on the East Coast, this is the story. He says, at the Hall of Science Amateur Radio Club, they're going to be hosting their Fall Ham Fest this Sunday, October 20th, at the New York Hall of Science Museum parking lot. And that's located at 47-01 111th Street in Queens, New York. So stop by if you want to take the test. I guess that's where he's going to do it. So good luck from all of us to KD2BWC. We wish you all the best. And also, another announcement from guess who? That would be El Gordo. Of course. He says this afternoon to me, he says this evening he's going to be down in San Diego. That's where he is tonight, presenting Marine Radio VHF and Marine Radio single sideband training classes to sailors participating in the annual Baja Haha Regatta. So that's what he wrote, Baja Haha Regatta. Some sailors will also continue on to French Polynesia and Marine single sideband as their main communications mode. He'll teach them how to choose marine bands, not the music type, and how to conduct marine radio nets on marine single sideband channels. And I wanted to share that with you so you know what's going on there. We also have a comment for you, Gordo, in case you do check in and get a chance to listen to this, whether it's later on in the replay or you're actually doing that live right now, from W3CRR. He says he has just upgraded to Extra last two Sundays ago, so he decided to change his call to all caps. He's just kidding. But he says thanks to Gordo for his nifty training manual that made it all happen for him. So that's that part of it. And we'll just move on to the questions for you. I don't want to not get those in here. So I'm going to start with you, Mr. Bob. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Well, I first want to make a personal comment that I thought that was so great when you said, and then, you know, you don't have to tape record yourself anymore. And I thought that was really so great that you used that phrase, tape recording, because a lot of people say, what's that? Of course, I know what it is, but I thought it was so cute when you said that. And you look great in that purple here. I've got my letters for your questions in purple, so I know they're for you. Navion asks, ask Bob how much difference there is between the PR-781 and the PR-40 for amateur use. So you're the man who designed them, so go for it.
Well, the 781 and the 40 are the same from about 1,000 cycles up, but I started rolling off the low end, extreme low end of the PR-40, because that was, it was really built first for the broadcast industry, and it's a great kick drum microphone because it gets down to 28 hertz. We don't need that on ham radio, although a lot of guys use it. You just have to tame it a little bit and EQ it. But the 781, I rolled it off sharply under about 100 cycles, and that way you don't have to worry about that. But it's still got the great articulation. That's what I'm talking on tonight. And that's the main difference is just what's in the low end. The rest of it's very articulate and same basic pattern and all that.
Oh, great. That's interesting to know because we all like all the mics. I want to have one of each myself. So, and we also have another one for you, Bob. He didn't actually put a call sign down either, but it was Web0991 if you're listening. He wanted to know if applying ferrite beads to coax can eliminate RFI that makes a touch lamp flash uncontrollably and a CO detector to go off. If so, where do you put them? He needs your recommendation, Bob. Over to you.
Oh, hey George, how many hours do we have to answer this?
Not enough.
Not enough.
No,
you got serious problems, and it's probably not going to be handled from just a couple of RF beads, but it might. But RFI is such a. There's so many places it could happen. Try anything, and you'd be surprised sometimes what's causing it. But you have stray RF, and if you've got some off center fed dipole or a vertical, and it doesn't have proper ground, and I'm not talking about the AC ground, I'm talking about antenna ground. There's this variety of reasons that you have stray RF, and you definitely do have stray RF because it's getting into that lamp. So all I can say is try everything and good luck to you because it's a toughie.
I bet it takes a long time to isolate something like that per Bob and George. So I'm sure good luck to you on getting that resolved though. Now I just wanted to see if anybody noticed anything on my backdrop that's a little bit different. I'd like you to type it into the chat room when I reread this later on. I'll see everything that you're saying. All right, now I'm talking, so I can't see anything. But let me know if you see anything on my backdrop that's a little bit different. And in the meantime, you know what's coming up pretty soon, right? You know what time of the year it's going to be, right? So we're going to have some things go on that night. That's the 30th. That's in 2 weeks. So we'll go ahead and have a great time with that, too. Anyway, I have some questions for you, George. So let's move on to that from one of our regulars, Randy, K7AGE. Good evening to you. He wanted to know, does the additional flux really help? And I know he's talking about soldering, and that sounds like right up your alley, George. Over to you.
In a lot of cases, yes. I won't say most cases. In this particular one where I was building that FM radio kit, it made a huge difference. It was taking forever to get the solder to flow before I put that just a little bit of solder flux on there. Made all the difference in the world. On larger connectors and on cheap connectors, you know, where maybe the metal's not quite the best, flux helps on that too. But normally for a PC board, no, I don't use flux unless it just doesn't want to solder otherwise.
Okay. Very good, very good. And on the same line, another one of our regulars, K9MIT, for you, George, also Chip. He says, do you prefer a certain type of flux pen for soldering? Do you have any brands or types that you might be able to recommend for him?
Well, I had never used a flux pen until about a month ago, and this is the one I'm using. It's a Kester number 2331-ZX, and it's really worked well. Now, this one is water-soluble flux, so after you've used it and finished soldering, you should maybe take a little water and a toothbrush or something and kind of clean it up. You don't want to leave this stuff on the board. I've heard it's pretty corrosive. I don't know if there's a no-clean flux pen or not, but if there is, I'm going to use one of those.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the recommendation. And I'm going to go back to you, Bob, for this question from Steve, KB9FQJ. It's kind of technical, so I want you to put your technical thinking cap on here. He says, is there an easy way to measure an audio transformer's impedance ratio? Go ahead.
It's pretty tough. And you have to understand that when you're talking about impedance, you're not just talking about DC resistance. And you need a special bridge to do that. And most amateurs don't have that. It's kind of tough. But you can, you can use a regular ohm meter, and you'll find out that one of the windings is maybe three or four times the resistance of the other. And the lower winding is going to be the low impedance, a lower impedance, and the more resistance is going to be higher. George, what's your answer to that? And trying to measure impedance of transformers without a lot of spectrum analyzers and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes specialized equipment to do that because it's not DC resistance you're measuring. If you try to take an ohm meter and measure a transformer, say a 600 ohm transformer, you might only read 60 ohms or something. You know, it's not even going to be close. I would think you'd need something like a bridge, you know, that uses an oscillator and runs an AC in there to actually find that out.
Absolutely.
All right.
I wonder what he's doing. Well,
all right then.
At least that can give him the highs or the lows of it, Cheryl.
Wow, that's a lot of information there without using the specialty equipment that those two have, the spectrum analyzers and so forth. And we thank you for that. And with all of that said, I think we're in pretty good shape with all the questions tonight. I thank you for participating and being here with us, everyone. And with that, I will say until the next time, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK. And I'll see you right here on Ham Nation. Take care, everybody. 73.
Okie dokie, Miss Cheryl. We'll see you on 3847, 3850, somewhere in there, a little high, a little low, wherever you can find some places tonight, huh? And we're going to look on the 40 meters. George, you got a frequency for the guys there tonight? Is it 72, 78, or where are they tonight? Do you know?
Yeah, I just saw them say that it's 72, 78 tonight, and we're going to have the Echo Link Net where it always is, star do drop in, star node number 355-800. And that's all the nets I know of for sure tonight.
Okie doke. Well, we're going to end up on one of the bands, not sure where, but we'll see you all there. One of the things I'll be doing is reading my new Collins book for the month. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you guys and gals don't belong to the Collins Collectors Association, you should do it just for this magazine. Whoa, it's amazing. The print is beautiful. And, of course, the subject matter is just terrific. And these guys are doing a wonderful job every month. It's a little better. Listen on Tuesday and Thursday night and check in. You don't have to be a Collins owner. Check in with us all on 3805, a little bit around, depends on the QRM, but man, we have a lot of fun down there on Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 o'clock Central. But I'm telling you, this signal is, I can't believe how good this thing is all the time. And as I say, it's worth belonging to the Collins Collectors Association just for the magazine. Gosh, there's a lot of stuff in there. Check it out. We will see you all back here, Ham Nation, next week. And, let's see. Next week, George, is the big week. That's when DX Engineering does their opening live right here. Isn't that correct?
That's it. Next week, right here on Ham Nation, the grand opening of the new store up there. From what I've seen, it's really going to be something.
Yeah, a little different than all we've been used to. So Tim Duffy will be here live as they cut the ribbon. So join us all. Tell your friends about Ham Nation. You know we're all on the replay. You can catch us on iTunes. And as I tell everybody, it's really simple. Ham Nation into Google. That's all you got to do. Ham Nation into Google. 24/7, you can see all 119 programs. And you don't have to go through a lot of slashes and X's and Y. All that. Ham Nation into Google, and you're there. And if you want to get to any of the replays or right there, or you can listen to all the podcasts, the audio portion of this on iTunes. And a lot of it comes up on YouTube also. And in the meantime, go check out Amateur Logic and see the eighth year. George, we'll see you later. Cheryl, Dan, Don, and everybody in the chat room. We will talk to you next week right here on Ham Nation. 7-3, everybody. We're off to see what's going to happen on 40 Meetings. Bye-bye.